and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin, and I'm delighted to be joined on live by former NWA referee Jeff Capo. How's it doing this evening, Jeff?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you for joining us this evening. I've never interviewed a ref before, so it should be really interesting. So
fantastic.
Yeah, so I just wanted to get a bit of background on you. So how long have you been a wrestling fan?
Oh, going way back to when I was very young. I would probably say the mid-1970s. When I figured out how to turn the dial on the TV, since we had dials back then, I found a station. I lived in Baltimore, Maryland, United States, and there was a station out of Washington, D.C. that I was able to pick up on Saturday mornings, and it had wrestling and roller derby on at about the same time. And, of course, being in that area, it was the WWWF at the time. Vince McMahon Sr. was still in control of the company. And I started watching that. Watched guys like Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, and Pedro Morales, and the Wild Samoans, and all those guys. So, and I was hooked immediately and just watched it as much as I could.
And who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
I liked Polish Power Ivan Putski. I have some Polish in my background, so he was always a favorite of mine. And I liked Bob Backlund a lot too, and I got to meet Mr. Bob Backlund several years later. When I was a referee.
So was this in the midst of the Bruno Sammartino, like, what was it, 8-year reign or whatever it was?
It was about that time. And then like I said, once we got into the 80s, then once Vince Jr. took over, obviously we started having the WrestleMania going on. And then at that time, too, Jim Crockett Promotions started actively competing against what was then the WWF in the Washington, Baltimore, and Philadelphia markets, which were all pretty close together. They're within a couple hours' drive of each other. So we started seeing guys like Ric Flair and the Andersons and the Four Horsemen and the Road Warriors and all that stuff. And then we also had World Class Championship Wrestling out of Texas, obviously the Von Erichs. We're starting to see that on TV. Cable TV started becoming prevalent in our area, so we started getting a lot of the Superstation broadcast, WTBS, WGN out of Chicago and everything like that.
So did you get into the business to become a ref, or did you want to come in as a wrestler?
No, I just actually, how I got into the business was, this was about 1989, I was attending classes at a local college, and I saw a flyer up the wall, pasted to the wall, and said, "Do you want to meet NWA wrestlers?"
Yeah.
And it had a phone number for it, and I thought, wow, this would be kind of interesting, because at that time, there was no real, wrestlers weren't really accessible to the fans outside of the shows. So I thought this was an interesting concept, so there was a number on it. I called the number and got involved with a group called the Squared Circle Fan Club, which was run by a gentleman named Joel Goodhart. He had a wrestling radio show in Philadelphia, on their main sports station, and he got into an agreement with the NWA that he would have these fan club luncheons where basically you paid to come in, and it was basically a luncheon with different NWA wrestlers, basically Jim Crockett Promotion wrestlers at that time. Met people like the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, Baby Doll, Dr. Death Steve Williams, the Great Muda, and several others. So at the first one of these, several of the people were talking about independent wrestling, and I had not really heard that term before, because again, I had really only watched it on TV, and I had been to a few of the both NWA and WWF matches in Baltimore and Philadelphia. So I asked, well, what is this independent wrestling? What is it? How do I get to see it? And Joel introduced me to a gentleman named Ed Zahn. Ed was running a small promotion in Maryland and Pennsylvania called Atlantic Wrestling Federation. And I met Ed, and I expressed an interest, and he said, we're having a show. Come on up to this show. And it was in a small gym in a town called York, Pennsylvania. And I was immediately enthralled by it because it was so different from anything I had seen previously. It was a very small venue. Mm-hmm. It was basically all local wrestlers. I'm trying to remember it. It's been so long. It was 1989 when this happened. Mm-hmm. But the wrestlers were so much more accessible. They would come out in between matches, and you could get autographs and photos. And I thought that was fascinating. That you could do that. And then basically Ed and I became friends, and I started working with him, and he brought me into the business and started teaching me about this is how we put a show together, this is how we book matches, this is how we sign wrestlers to work for us, and basically that's where that started. So I did that for a couple years. I worked inside of a couple promotions. We had a promotion in the Baltimore area called Universal Independent Wrestling, which was actually on TV on one of the major stations here in Baltimore, which was unheard of, especially for an independent organization to be on that station. And then we moved on to another promotion called Wrestling Independent Network, WIN, WIN. Mm-hmm. And then I had been going to all the matches and doing all the different things, helping us set up and putting the ring together and taking everything down and basically doing all, learning the business that way, doing all these little jobs that most people don't see. Basically, when a fan goes to the wrestling, the ring's already set up, the chairs are there, they take their ticket and go, you know, get their seats and the show. You know, the show starts and all that, and they don't see all the behind the scenes that are going on. So basically, in November of 1993, I received a phone call from the late Axel Rotten.
Oh, yeah.
Who fans would know from ECW and the Global Wrestling Federation. He was actually a local Baltimore man who wrestled all over. And he called me, he said, Jeff, we're having a card here in Baltimore. I'm bringing some ECW guys down. He goes, one of my referees backed out. I need another referee. He goes, I know you haven't been trained or anything. He goes, but you've been working with us for years. You've been studying all the matches. I'm confident you will be able to do this. So I need you to get yourself a shirt, get some pants, meet us at this show. And I remember the date vividly. It was November 11th, 1993. And basically the first match I was into was a four-way tag team match, so there were four teams of two.
So quite a match to get a new first match.
All right, not only that, my participation in the match ended when I received a chair shot to the head.
Ooh.
From Axel Rotten, of all people. So, and it was a metal chair, and Axel was known about in the business as being very stiff with his chair shots. So I got my one hand up in between the chair and my head, and my hand was black and blue for a week. I was surprised that I hadn't broken any bones in my hand. But so basically that was the beginning of it. So I worked for several independent promotions in the 90s around Maryland and Pennsylvania. I actually did referee for ECW at one of their TV tapings. In Hamburg, Pennsylvania, and I stayed on the independent circuit, and then through some connections I had with the NWA, I found out that the NWA New York group, or the promoter for NWA New York, was actually moving to Virginia, because at the time there was not anybody that was doing any NWA wrestling either in Maryland or and ECW had already broken away. At this point, so there wasn't any local NWA groups for me to work at until Rick O'Brien, who was the promoter for NWA New York, was moving to Virginia, and he opened up NWA Virginia, and I contacted him, and he said, sure, he said, come on down to Richmond, Virginia, we're having a card, and basically that began my seven-year time with the NWA. Where I got to travel. I went to Nashville, Tennessee. I worked at the NWA 57th anniversary show, where I met an amazing young man named Fergal Devitt.
Oh yeah.
And got to referee his match when he won the NWA British Commonwealth title.
Wow.
Obviously, fans know him now as Finn Balor in WWE, but you know, an amazing young man at that point, and it's great to see him having the success that he is having now, and well deserved for him. So I also went to the Carolinas. I wrestled at the NWA Legends, refereed at the Legends Fan Fest in 2007. This is at the time when the NWA had gotten the NWA World title and the World Tag Team titles back from TNA. Mm-hmm. This is when they had split. And I refereed the semifinal match in the World title tournament between Brent Albright and Claudio Castagnoli,
Who
obviously fans know as Cesaro. I also refereed Brian Danielson, who again people know as Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And I was also very fortunate to be named the NWA Referee of the Year 4 years running, from 2003 to 2006.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I was very proud of that. I think I tied, or I'm just behind the legendary Tommy Young as far as being named NWA Referee of the Year several times. So that's a great thing to have happen. So basically, 2008 comes along, and there's some changes in the business. And I decided at that point it was time for me, after 15 years, it was time for me to step away. Let others do it, and I actually got out of the business pretty much altogether at that point. I kept in touch with several people that I knew through the business, but I wasn't going to shows. I wasn't really actively even watching on television or anything like that. And then a couple years ago, my friend Ed Zahn, who I mentioned before, he had moved to North Carolina. And he contacted me about 2 years ago, or 2.5 years ago. He said, there's a group running here called Premier Wrestling Experience, or PWX. He said, I think you need to come down and look at these guys. He goes, I know it's a long drive for you. You can stay at my place. We'll go to the shows. I think you'll be impressed. He goes, these guys were very much like what we did in the 80s and 90s. And I said, okay, so basically November of 2016, I went to the annual, what they call the X16 tournament for PWX, where they have 16 competitors who wrestle over 2 days. Mm-hmm. It's a Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And the winner gets the X16 Cup, and then they get a title shot against the PWX World Heavyweight Champion at Rise of the Champions, which is usually about 2 months after the X16. And my first show back with them, who do I get? I'm helping out at the show. I go to the airport, and who do I get to pick up? None other than Zack Sabre Jr.
Wow.
So I took him from the airport to the show, and also Matt Riddle. And I sat and watched this show for 2 days, and I was blown away by the professionalism of the group and the quality of all the wrestlers, because again, I had been out of it so much, so I really kind of went into it totally new. I had no idea who many of these guys are. There was Anthony Henry and James Drake, and the James Drake is the James Drake that's here in the United States. I know there's a James Drake in England,
yeah,
who wrestles. So there's been a little back and forth about that. There's been a little confusion about that. There's a tag team called the Ugly Ducklings. There's Elijah Evans IV. There's a whole roster of people that are working in the Carolinas right now. Matter of fact, actually, a lot of them are starting to travel throughout the United States. They're being booked by other groups. I've been working with PWX basically once a month for the last 2 years, just basically helping with setup, helping with transportation, and again doing all that, kind of going back to my roots, going back to all the behind the scenes items that need to be done so that a show can be successful.
Oh, that's amazing. And then this Sunday you made your triumphant return as a referee.
Yeah, I actually got a call a couple of weeks ago from PWX. They were having the show that they just had, actually it was just yesterday, was the Battlefield X show, and they were having what they called a Battlefield Rumble, which was basically a 30-man rumble, basically under the Royal Rumble rules that everybody's familiar with, the WWE. You start with two competitors in the ring, and then basically about every 2 or 3 minutes, a countdown would start, and another wrestler would come in, and basically there were 30 wrestlers involved in this match. So I was asked to help out as a referee. We had several referees around the ring to watch, basically, again, as an over-the-top battle royal type rules, that basically the person had to be thrown over the top and land on the floor in order to be eliminated. And actually, the last person that was going to be the one is actually going to be at the Rise of the Champions 13 card next month in a triple threat match against Anthony Henry and James Drake for the PWX World Heavyweight title, which Anthony Henry currently owns. He's been the champion for about a year now.
Wow.
Hey, everybody. This is Steve Wilson, the man behind the monster, Kongo Kong, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
So if we go back to, like, the art of refereeing, so we all know that referees are there to count the free, count the check for submissions, but what do you think the main role of the referee in the match is?
Well, the referee is the voice of authority in the ring, and there's several things that have to happen. Again, like you said, they have to, you know, to count the pinfalls, the submissions, make sure that the rules of the match are being obeyed, making sure that the match is, you know, progressing as well. We have to keep some time, especially if you're doing a TV taping. The matches are constricted by time, so you have to make sure that the time is being held. There's times that we have to, you know, unfortunately accidents happen and wrestlers are hurt. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure to call for the medical attention to come in. Sometimes we have to play
famous
security.
Axe over the head, isn't it?
So basically, they're the third person, at least the third person in the ring, depending on the type of match. So they're almost as much a participant in the match as the two wrestlers that or more that are in the match as well.
Yeah, you're the unsung heroes of wrestling. A match
Pretty
wouldn't
much.
Be successful
without. And I like that part of it. I don't like to, and I know different promotions do it for different reasons. I'm not a particular fan of the referee being put over the wrestlers. The wrestlers are obviously doing the majority of the work, not that the referees don't, but the referee role is very specific. It's a support role, and, you know, again, they have to do things like count the pinfalls, which are very important and all that, to keep the match going. And you have to be a good referee. You have to be on your toes because, unfortunately, a bad referee is just as bad as a bad wrestler in a match. It could completely ruin a perfectly good match.
So what are the various ways of communicating with the talent during the match?
Sure, it's usually verbal. Now, some promotions, depending on where you are, when I was doing refereeing, basically we were kind of low tech, so I would get signals from the timekeeper about how much time was left, and I would try to convey that to the wrestlers so they make sure that they stay within the times for the match. Nowadays, I know, especially like PWX, most of the referees have like an earpiece that they wear, and they get communications from usually a person in the back, again, who's keeping time. There are certain signals that we use. If a wrestler is hurt badly, we'll put up an X sign with our arms. We'll basically cross our arms. That alerts the medical staff and stuff that there is a situation that has to be taken care of immediately.
What do you wish the public would know more about the ref's role?
Well, that we are, we are part of the match, but that, you know, that we're just not guys off the street that do that. That most of the referees are trained. Several of them wrestle, so they're aware of what goes on, and that that's pretty much it. I mean, refereeing is basically what you would call one of those thankless jobs.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. That's part of it. Again, it's the same as being like a timekeeper or a ring announcer, or, you know, someone on the security staff. We're basically there to support the wrestlers and the promotion in order to make everybody, you know, to make it all work and making everybody successful, and most importantly, make sure that the fans, you know, have a good time. That's obviously what the whole crux of the entire thing is to entertain the fans and hope that they go home happy and feel that their hard-earned money is well spent.
Have you ever been confronted by an overzealous fan who's not happy with the results, or maybe back in the day they didn't realize?
I've never had anybody physical, but I've gotten yelled at and called pretty much every game in the book. You know, why did you miss that? Didn't you see his foot on the rope? You know, why did you let that guy, you know, the guy had a weapon? You know, there's things like that, and that's part of the business. You know, we get some fans that they get up there, but usually I've been pretty lucky and not had anybody really get physical confrontation with anyone.
Well, on the other side, have you ever had a match that's turned into a shoot?
I haven't had any really turn into a shoot. I've had a couple where we've had some accidents in the ring, and basically the match either stopped or something went wrong, and somebody it kind of got mixed up. But I've never had a real shoot go on.
No. So looking at the current TNA, looking at the current NWA. How do you feel Billy Corgan's doing in his new job? Do you think he's doing a good job?
I'm very excited about this. I think that Billy is doing an outstanding job. I mean, basically, he started with nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, the NWA had fallen on such a state of disrepair, I guess, if you want to call it that. But I think that they've been doing fantastic. I've been following their YouTube videos, the 10 pounds of gold. I suggest if anybody's not seen them yet, start from the beginning and watch them. Most of them are only about 10 minutes each. It doesn't take long to go on. But, you know, the fact that they're working with David Marquez, I know David Marquez. I worked with him in the NWA.
Yeah.
He worked at the NWA, and I've met him several times. And you know, he's doing very well with his United Wrestling Network. And the fact that he was willing to work again with the NWA and give them a platform to showcase the title again. I watched the Tim Storm Nick Aldis match and great match, great build up. I think that they went through and they're definitely honoring the past of the title and definitely moving it forward. I'm thrilled to hear that Nick's, he'll be, I don't know if he's there yet. I know he was due to come to England.
Yeah, he's defended it a couple of times over here.
Excellent. Yeah. That's fantastic. And then I know he's going to, they made the big announcement recently that he'll be defending the title in China, which is a first for the NWA heavyweight title. And I think both Billy and David Lagana are working extremely hard to try to get that organization back to where it was, and really especially get the titles. I know right now they're focusing on the world heavyweight title, and I think they'll be bringing the tag titles and some of the other titles back very soon. But they've definitely got a plan. They're following the plan, and I think the response I've seen so far has been very positive.
Do you think Nick is the right person to take the brand forward?
I think so. I think Nick's handling it very well. I love to listen to his interviews. The attitude is amazing. I mean, it's just, you know, here's a guy that was with, you know, obviously with TNA and another organizations, and you know, to me, probably not used in the best light. I know he was a TNA World Heavyweight Champion at one point, but you know, I think he has really found his calling as the NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, and then James Ellsworth challenged him at the weekend. Was it this weekend or a couple of weeks ago?
That's interesting because James is actually is from the area that I live in.
Yeah.
And Nick put it out there, and he said he wanted somebody who's either a world champion or beaten a world champion. So he kind of opened the door for himself for that.
Yes, three victories over AJ Styles.
I think James gave him a little more of a fight than he was expecting, and you know, that was good for James. And again, you know, I think that you never discount anyone. Anybody can beat anybody on a given day and be the champion. And now I know he's got, obviously he's faced some challengers over there in England. And now that Colt Cabana, apparently the former two-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, is now look like he's coming up for a challenge. The situation with Josephus has not been resolved.
Mm.
I think Josephus is going to be back for that. And you know what? Even Tim Storm. Tim could be coming back. You never know. Tim could come back for a rematch.
I know a couple of people. I know he defended against Bram, and he's defended against Big Grizzly over here. He's got a couple more dates. I can't remember who was against off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm glad that they, you know, that they decided really once they got, you know, once he got the title and stuff to immediately go and make it once again a true world heavyweight champion, like it was, you know, back in the 80s when Ric Flair and Harley Race and others, they would be in Japan, they would be in Puerto Rico, they would be in Canada, they would be in Mexico. You know, that to me translates as a true world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, it'd be amazing if he goes from country to country, state to state, and gets the fans' favorite.
It was originally it's been a traveling title. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be locked in one place.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where it goes because I'm a huge Smashing Pumpkins fan, so I do follow what Billy Corgan keeps up to. I got quite excited when he took over at TNA, but then that seemed to fall flat.
Yeah, that whole situation with TNA went bad very quickly, and I'm glad that you know that Billy stuck with it, stuck by his guns, and basically, you know, didn't let them push him around, and found this other opportunity, and I think it's, you know, they always say things happen for a reason, and obviously, you know, we've seen now what that reason is. You know, Billy's not running TNA or Impact Wrestling or whatever it is it's called. At this point, you know, he's taken an organization with a true background and history that basically almost every organization has sprung from. You know, I believe it's like the second oldest in the world. I think the one in Mexico was predated it a little bit, but basically as far as a world sanctioning body, it's really the oldest of the bunch, which every other one has sprung from. So for him to really take that and again respect the traditions of the name and of the title and try to move it forward in the 21st century is fabulous.
Yeah, so I hear you're a Star Trek fan.
I am.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm sitting here with my Star Trek sweatshirt on as we speak. So I'm a big fan of the Star Trek. My father got me into it when I was very young. We used to watch it by the time I grew up. I was pretty young by the time the original series went off the air originally, but obviously it went into syndication. So I watched it later on, and I watched the animated series when it was on in the mid-70s. And
yeah.
When they started doing the movies and pretty much watched every series that's been put out and all the movies that have come out. I've actually got a chance to actually watch a few episodes of the new Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Would you recommend I start watching it?
I would say watch it. I would say it's worthwhile to go ahead and watch it. You know, again, it's first season still.
Yeah.
But I think the storylines are very compelling, and I would certainly recommend it to give it a go.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of Next Generation. Sorry. Yeah, I've recently started watching that again because it's on the horror channel for some reason over here. They've just
right.
started putting it on the horror channel, so I've come started right. going back and watching that. And I'm like, oh, what's the one? The one with the Giles Quantum Leap in it. I enjoyed that one.
Scott Bakula.
Yeah,
he was in Enterprise.
Yeah, they only lasted a season or two, didn't they? I enjoyed that. That just seemed to be getting good, and then they cancelled it. So.
They got off. You know, it seems to me it's funny with the series. They seem to get off to a slow start, most of them.
Mm.
And I noticed that especially with Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
I felt it took both of them about a season and a half or two seasons to really get their feet under them and get it, you know, get moving. Because I found especially with Next Generation, the first couple episodes, I was actually a little disappointed in it because it seemed like they were too much trying to recycle things from the original series, you know, and if you look at some of the very first episodes, and I think it took time for a couple of the characters to develop, but once they got going, it was fantastic. I mean, the last, like I said, you know, basically seasons 3 through 7 of Next Generation were excellent.
Definitely. All right. So before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
Yes. can find me on Twitter at Jeff Capo, which is J-E-F-F-C-A-P-O. I am also on Facebook at Jeffrey T. Capo. And I'm here on Skype as Jeff Capo. And you can also check me on, sometimes you'll see me post on the PWX social media, which is at PWX Wrestling, and on Facebook as PWX Wrestling. They're based in North Carolina, and I would suggest that the fans all over check them out. They're also available on the High Spots Wrestling Network. You can catch their videos on there. They have video on demand, so you can catch some of the past shows. And sometimes when PWX runs a show, sometimes they will broadcast live. So that's also a treat for everyone. So keep an eye out for those. And you can also check my social media. I usually post when they're running shows again.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Please, at any time, let me know, and I'll be more than happy. And if any of the fans have questions, please, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I'll definitely put out there for future. So thank you for coming on. I'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it very much.